Tonight on Orsini's Uncensored Mind, we talk about me being super thankful to everyone and everything. That's the positive side. Of course, we'll also be dabbling in other pro wrestling topics such as Morrow and Graves. Is there a controversy? Jim Cornette gets in trouble yet again. There's a bunch of poor people on the internet complaining about a replica belt and why CM Punk not only is not news, but less of a concern of mine than you possibly could ever fathom. A lot to discuss here on episode
117. Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Orsini.
How the hell is everybody up here? This is your boy, your main man, your Jackson brother from another mother. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. This is AJ Orsini, and I have once again bequeathed unto all of you episode 117. Now, here's the deal, folks. I am in a singing mood. Yes, of course. I am in a pleasurable mood because this was Thanksgiving week. Now, I have struggled with a fluxing weight situation, and this week did not help. As full as we speak, and I'm recording this on Saturday. Thanksgiving was 2 days ago, but leftovers, my God. Everyone knows that Thanksgiving weekend is where it's at. When that meat has aged 2 to 3 days, that's when it's getting good. That's when all the juices and all the marination all come out. Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving meal is fantastic. The Thanksgiving meals is otherworldly. And I am currently riding high on penne, a little arroz, the gandules, all kinds of Latin meals. Because I'm married to a Spanish woman, so I get Spanish food in my house. And I'm filled to the brim. I feel thankful, which is another thing that we have to get to here today. Of course, all of you come here for a very pro-wrestling-centric discussion, but we're going to open up here at Orsini's Uncensored Mind with a little off-topic conversation. We're going to talk a little Thanksgiving here. I know that a lot of people are out there with their families doing their thing. There were a lot of people out there that unfortunately were not with their families, or, you know, because of travel reasons or for whatever reason it could be. Or you just don't have a family to really be with. Apparently that was a big deal on the internet today, that apparently not everybody has families to be with on Thanksgiving Day. And that's cool. That's fine. You can still make it a holiday for yourself. You can still do your thing. Lord knows I've spent a few Thanksgivings. I have a family, and I've spent a few Thanksgivings alone in the past, whether it be work or travel or whatever the case may be. But whenever I can sit down with the fam and do the thing, that's actually pretty cool. I'm not huge on holidays. Really not, to be honest with you. We're going to get into that a little later because I have an announcement I'm going to be making about some holiday shit going on here on Orsini's Uncensored Mind. So we'll get back to that, my disdain for holidays. But this particular holiday falls in line with a lot of cool shit that I like doing, like sitting down and eating and watching TV whilst I eat, and being with my family whilst I watch television, whilst I eat my food. So it all falls in the line. I can get behind holidays that fall into the shit that I do. You get what I'm saying? Self-interest. So obviously I can get behind something like Thanksgiving. 4th of July is also big for me. It's drinking and fireworks. I can do all those things, preferably together. The drunker I am with explosives, the better a holiday that it really is. So that's always really good too. But I'm not really big on holidays. Again, we'll get more into that midway toward the show when we start plugging some other shit that needs to be discussed. But Thanksgiving has gone by, and since I did partake with the food, it is particularly a good idea, in my opinion, to also partake in the actual holiday itself. And I do mean the spirit of it. I am a grown man who has read a book or two and definitely pays an awful lot of attention to things like the History Channel. So believe me when I tell you, I could do a whole hour on how this bullshit holiday just doesn't mean a whole lot to a bunch of people. We all know the storybook version of how Thanksgiving took place, but we also know the real version of how Thanksgiving shaped out. You know, hindsight 2020. I think if the Indians can run that one back, they'd have a different game plan in store than just you know, teaching these nobodies what to do in someone else's territory. But Thanksgiving in spirit is supposed to be a day where people sit down and give thanks. So I've had to do that recently. In the past couple of days, I've had to do that. I've had to sit down and think about things that I give thanks for. Obviously, first thing that comes to mind, what I want to give thanks, is I give thanks to my family. I love my wife. I listen, you know, every time I feel down about myself, every time I start to feel like, you know, am I really as awesome as I continuously keep telling people that I am? And then I come home and I realize that I have a woman at home who is completely 100% Puerto Rican, beautiful, the long hair, the butt, the boobs, the whole shebang, cooks her ass off, loves sci-fi shit, loves wrestling. I'm a fucking winner. Every time I come home and I look at her sitting there on the couch, just waiting for some O, on a daily basis, just sitting there waiting for the meat, I'm a lucky man. And then I got a kid. I managed to impregnate that beautiful specimen, and she popped out another adorable human being who is a pain in the ass. There's no doubt about that. But all kids are pain in the asses, and believe me, there are worse pain in the ass kids in this world than mine. Mine's pretty cool. I got to tell him stuff a few times, but after the few times it gets done. You know, he's not one of those kids where I just scream my head off for forever and it just sits there undone. Eventually, he will get to it. I'm trying to train him so it's on the dime, so when I snap my fingers, shit happens. You know, trying to curtail all that bad attitude shit. But like I said, I'm thankful for the kid that I have. It could be a whole lot worse. Thankful for my moms for keeping it real for all those fucking years that we either did or didn't have Thanksgiving options in the past. Obviously thankful to my bro, my actual brother. I know I use the term brother a lot, but I do have a flesh and blood living brother who has been on the show one time. He was supposed to be on the show a second time, but it did not work out scheduling-wise. He had to get going early. But I do support my bro out there who is just now getting his home together. Super proud of him. He's out there doing his thing out in PA now. He's moved in with his girlfriend, and she's awesome. She's been to the house. And I know that they're out there doing their thing, so I'm thankful and I'm happy for them for doing their thing. My mom just recently got a new job as well, so she's doing her thing. I got two sisters who are doing their thing. The oldest of the two? I'm the oldest of four, so there's another. I have two younger sisters. It's me, my brother, and then two sisters. And the oldest of the two younger sisters is a pharmacist, pharmaceutical tech. She works for Penn Tech. She does something with, she's a drug dealer. That's what I call her. She's my little drug dealer. She's a pharmacist or pharmacy tech or whatever, whatever. And my youngest sister works for Amazon. I forgot what the hell she does. So we're winning right now. Across the board. You know, the whole old family right now is just scoring major points. And I'm very proud of that because for a long period of time, very, very, very long period of time, we couldn't buy a bucket. You know, we couldn't get a win. There was a lot of years we were down on our luck, down in our situation. And we just couldn't get a win anywhere. So I'm glad that we have persevered and gotten to a place where we're all winning in some way, shape, or form. I'm glad and I'm happy for that. All across the board here, everything's looking good on our side. And I'm not saying this to rub anything in or to, you know, be boastful about the situation. I'm just showing my appreciation. I'm happy. If I was a boastful person, motherfuckers, you'd hear about it every day. I think this is the most I've spoken on my show about my own family pretty much since I've gotten this fucking thing going here, this podcast going. So bear with me on this because I'm trying to give out my shout-outs here. I got a couple friends I want to shout-out that I'm thankful for, that are in my life, that are in my fucking circle here. Obviously, the two main men of my entire fucking existence right now. Three, when you actually think about it. But I'm not playing favoritism here. We're just going down the line. Big shout out to Brandon Lewis and Joe Pombo for doing their thing over at Comic Conversation. Those numbers are still going up. I was just on the show recently with them. We did, whoa, I just had an audio boost. What happened there? I just hit something on the board by accident. Everything just shot up. Oof. I am thankful for Excedrin because I have a headache now. And there's some Excedrin over here. Fuck me. My whole right eardrum right now is just ringing. Okay. Man, I got punched by my fucking mixer right now. I'm not editing any of this out, by the way. I want this to be real as fuck. But yeah, oh, my first curse. It took 10 minutes, I think. I gotta go back and listen. Anyway, yes, I'm off track. I'm off kilter. I told you, I'm in a great mood right now. So, Brandon Lewis, Joe Pombo, doing their thing over at Comic Conversation and at 2bscene.com. Doing their thing over there. Super happy. This is one of the first Thanksgivings for a lot of my friends who just recently had kids. Apparently, that's a thing now. Everyone's getting pregnant. Too many to name. You all know who you are. And thanks for catching up since mine came about 5 years ago. Now everybody wants to get fucking kids. Before, I was the loser with a kid. Now everyone's got fucking kids. Those are shout-outs there to them. I have some fans, by the way. I have a few fans that I would like to send a shout-out to. They're constantly listening to the show and commenting on things and, you know, messaging me, sending me messages, and just being really proactive with the whole Orsini's Uncensored Mind thing. Excuse me. Excuse me. So, I just did a cornet right now. Next, I'm going to start promoting Omaha Steaks on my show for no reason. I don't even get paid by Omaha Steaks. But a few fans out there. First one that comes to mind, because he's in constant contact with me almost all the time to the point where it gets really annoying and I want to block him, but I can't because he likes the show. I'm joking. I kid. Jesse Rodriguez is a huge, huge member of the Squad of O. He's huge in the sense of not just his pant size, but in his IQ. In his virility, but he's huge in the sense of sharing and liking and really getting the word out there on the show. And I could not be more thankful for guys like him, Hippie Oppenheim, who's done a lot. And that's his Facebook name, by the way. I know his nickname is Hippie. We spoke privately about his real shit, but he just likes being called Hippie. So if you're thinking to yourself, wow, that's a weird fucking name. Nah, there's a backstory to it. If you guys get a chance to really get to meet this guy, there's a whole like fucking thing about it. It's fucking awesome, actually. And he's huge to the show. Sophia Thorne, listening to the show a couple times. She's one of the few female fans that I have who listen to the show. I don't know why females don't like me. I guess it has something to do with that big asshole I keep bringing onto my show every chance I fucking get. Who's not so high on the women, but you know, I love the ladies. I'm a married man. I'm in one of those rare friend categories because everyone knows that I've been married for forever. So women who are around me, they feel a little bit more free to be around me because they know that I'm not trying to fuck them. You know, most guys who are trying to be funny or trying to be jokey, it's usually because that's like their version of flirting. So women are usually like on the defensive, but not with me. They feel free as fuck because they know I'm not trying to fuck them. They know that whatever comes out of my mouth, it has nothing to do with trying to fuck them. So they'll either get a really honest answer from me or they'll get a really sarcastic one from me. But either way, they'll get realness from me because, again, I'm not trying to fuck them. I have zero interest in it. So it really tends to keep people, in their proper place. Myself and the other person as well. So Sophia, I've known for a long time. She listens to she knew me before a podcast, long before a podcast, but she's been one of the rare soldiers out there just doing whatever. I wanted to speak real quick to some of the people that are in my group. There is a Facebook group, Orsini's Uncensored Mind official group. There are some people who have asked a few questions and I want to address them. Since I'm here on the show, and I know that they do listen to the show, but I wanted to address them because there was somebody asking, because a lot of the times the people post shit in the group, they said, well, it takes a while to hit the group. Yes, it does take a while to hit the group, and the reason for that is because I have it set for approval. I have to approve it, because if I just leave it open, it will get spammed. That's how Facebook works. People just spam shit into these groups. And I'm trying to get decent conversation going in the group. I don't want just anybody to have access to just posting whenever they want. Especially as frequently as it happens. I'm not trying to, again, gloat about anything. But people tend to post a lot in the group. It doesn't feel that way because I only approve like maybe two or three times a day. But there's constantly, like, if there's always like 25, 26 pending posts. And the posts are either repetitive, meaning it's somebody who posted one thing and then another person who doesn't know that they posted it, so they also posted it. So I had, like, for instance, I've whittled it down, but the other day I had like 25 pending posts. But like five of them were CM Punk returning on WWE Backstage. I don't need five different fucking posts from people with the same fucking video on it, just different descriptions. That's what I'm talking about. That and a bunch of people who are trying to promote wrestling events. I have no problem letting people share that shit in the group, but I can't have 10 or 20 posts per day of people promoting shows that are either garbage or I'm not on, or they have no interest in putting anybody that I know even on it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't mind supporting shows. Like, for instance, I just approved one a little while ago for House of Glory. I know House of Glory. Used to work for House of Glory. Got a lot of friends in House of Glory. Love to support. So I post it. Boom. But for the random-ass person in Tennessee who I don't know and will probably never meet, and I look at the post and I look at the match card or the website or whatever, and it's like some ho-dunk backyard bullshit. No, that's declined. I'm sorry. My group is not the WWE. We are not all-inclusive. I am a dictator in this situation. I rule with an iron fist. So that's why the group sometimes take forever. And, you know, I'm busy. I'm not online all the time. So you may have a really cool post that I just didn't get to just yet. You understand what I'm saying? I got friends who I have to delete because they get too happy and they start posting all kinds of shit. I have a particular friend who puts shit in my group like maybe three times a fucking day and I have to delete it. And this is a good friend of mine. So let alone people posting in my group I don't know. I will vet you out and I will decline you because I've got the power. You understand? It's Orsini's Uncensored Mind Facebook group. And I am Orsini. My rule will be long and tenured in this group. This group will die before I do. I promise you this. So as a matter of fact, look. Here. What do we have here? I'm going to give you a sneak peek. A little look inside, audio-wise, because you can't see because I'm talking to you. All right. Let me see. All right. I got one post here about Baby Yoda. I haven't done one of those yet. Another hog one. See, I just approved one. And they got another one here. Don't match. But I can't do it yet. It's too much. Another one from this person. See, and that's another thing, too. It's a lot of the same people over and over posting over and over. It's the same fucking people. Guys, it's okay. If you're in the group, if you're listening to this and you're in the group, it's okay to spur some other kind of conversation other than promoting shit. You can talk. Because it's not just wrestling fans. Wrestling people. It's wrestling fans. I have people who are fans who are posting in this group sharing other people's shit. You know, they're not the promoters of these companies. They're just fans, and they're promoting other people's shit. So I love it. I love the fact that fans are stepping up and promoting their favorite company, but if three other people are promoting the same shit that you're sharing, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense for me to reprove that. So that's me addressing that topic and addressing it with people. Hopefully, you know, if you're in my group, I'm assuming you're listening to the show. So if I hear about it again tomorrow, I'm going to be like, I'm just going to share a link to this shit. Episode 117. Take a listen to this, and that will explain all of the fucking questions that you have for me. So let's talk a little pro wrestling now. We've gotten into all the thankful shit. We've addressed some issues with the group. You know what? I'll save that for the end because I already did a bunch of shit. I want to talk wrestling now. There's another thing with the t-shirt that I wanted to talk about, but we'll do that later, along with the other promotion stuff I want to talk about. A lot of shit going on here in Orsini's Uncensored Mind. Got a lot of shit to promote here, but let's talk wrestling first. You've gone through enough of this shit. Let's get into the real talk about this whole thing. And I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of this shit today won't be about the actual wrestling because there's so much to talk about outside of it that I don't really have the desire or the will, should we say, of me to sit here and go down move for move and all kinds of different shit going on. So let's talk about the elephant in the room. There's a lot of discussion going on from this, and I want to talk about it, and it's going to touch a nerve. Sorry, it's going to touch a nerve. But we have to have this conversation. Now, this is something that probably should be left for last. But I'm in a good mood, and I don't want to end my show on a sour note, so I will leave the good shit that I'm going to talk about for the end, and we will talk about this depressing-ass shit right here in the beginning. So, there's a lot of talk going on, a lot of discussion when it comes to the lead play-by-play man for NXT, that's Mauro Ranallo. Now, here's the deal. I've said it on some social media, and I'll say it again. This ain't a news site. This ain't a news podcast. We don't go up to the minute on 24/7 Pro Wrestling News, Sports Center, blah, 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 blah. That's not what any of this is. This is a topical conversation that I get on here, on the machine here, and I'm talking to this microphone, and we sit here and we has ourselves a conversation. That's it. That's why I always tell people I can talk about anything that I fucking want, because I'm the one paying the bills for this motherfucker, and it's my goddamn show. So I'll talk about whenever I want, whenever I fucking want to talk about it. You have the option of not listening to it. So I'm going to preface everything I am about to say with that, because you're probably not going to be happy with what I'm about to do. But anyway, let's get into it. Mauro Ranallo and, of course, the Corey Graves situation. It's the name of the whole deal. It's tied together. Let's start with one thing right here off the bat. Corey Graves is a fucking asshole. If you're looking for me to jump down anyone's throat, it's probably going to be Corey Graves. But Corey Graves is not the villain everyone thinks he is. He's a villain. He's an asshole. He does stupid shit with no fucking follow-up or fucking explanation to it. I love guys, and this is mostly a guy thing, but I love guys who do stupid shit. And then when you ask them about it, when you question them about it, they always lean on that same stupid excuse. Well, I'm not perfect. No. No one is perfect. There's a lot of good people in this world that are not perfect. You're correct in this vague-ass defense by saying, well, I'm not perfect. You're correct, but that's not saying much. That's very vague. No, you're not perfect. You're the other direction. You're pretty much an asshole. You do asshole things. And he admits to saying shit sometimes just to stir shit up. He admits to being an asshole on purpose to try to get some spotlight on him. He admits to doing things on social media specifically to piss people off just to see reactions. He admits to all of this. And you know what? The WWE is right alongside with him. They're okay with him doing it. Elsewise, they'd get him off the fucking Twitter. They don't block his shit. They don't tell people, oh, we don't condone what he says. Nothing. They just let this loose fucking cannon just get on the social media and just troll. He's a professional troll. That's the type of shit. The shit that he says about not being perfect and sometimes doing shit to stir shit up, those are all the things that a troll does. He gets bored, and then he goes on the internet, and he stirs shit up. And it just like, and basically like 95% of all wrestling groups, aside from my own, when people just go on there and post the most ridiculous shit, like a time bomb, they say this ridiculous status and then they just leave it for like a day and then come back and just watch 144 comments of everybody arguing amongst each other from this time bomb you just left. This is the type of shit he does. He's a professional troll, okay? He is a professional troll who did something very, very stupid. Now, it's not as stupid as people would like to leave you to believe. Or at least this is, again, my opinion. The shit that he said on Twitter, to me, isn't really that bad. It's not nearly as bad. And that's the thing. It's not nearly as bad as the shit he has said in the past. That's the part that really kills me. Because if you're going to try to tell me that he was cyberbullying Mauro. I didn't see one fucking iota of cyberbullying. I think what he did was douchey, for real, because what he said on the Twitter, which if you didn't get a chance to see it, it's a very easy Google. I don't have it word for word. I don't have it in front of me because it doesn't fucking matter what he says. But the roundabout thing that he said was that it's hard to tell, but you do have a Hall of Famer and a former Ring of Honor champion also at the commentary table, basically insinuating that Mauro is talking too fucking much. Okay? That is not fucking cyberbullying at all. There's nothing about that that is cyberbullying at all. I don't give a shit that he has a mental illness, which we'll get into in a second. I don't give a fuck. Those words, the exact thing that he typed, unless you got the insinuation, it means nothing. There's nothing in it that's really that crazy. And then a fan coming in with all these hip-hop and rap references, and he just responded with, yeah, too many. Again, there's nothing really that horrible about any of those tweets. The only thing that's genuinely horrible about it is the fact that they exist. Because if you had legitimate criticism, if you had a legitimate problem with the way that one of your coworkers went about his fucking business, it's a very easy process. Especially since you're scheduled to see him the next fucking day. All you need to do is go to work the next day and tell him how you fucking feel. Now, does it matter how he feels? Not one iota. It doesn't matter at all. Marl does not answer to Corey Graves. Corey Graves is not Marl's fucking mentor or teacher or peer for that matter, because they're light years apart as far as commentary goes. Okay? He is an asshole. He did a stupid fucking thing. But I really don't believe that he did anything that fucking crazy. As a matter of fact, I don't even think he was that fucking wrong. He just did it in a really stupid fucking way. You see, I'm not as big, and I've said this on the show before, I'm not as big on Morrow as everybody else is. He's a good commentator. Borderline great. But he is over fucking hyped. There are a lot of people that pump his ass up to the umph degree. Like, he's the greatest fucking... Mind you, he's been doing broadcast sports for a long time. But all of a sudden now, he wanders into a pro wrestling company, and he's the greatest fucking announcer since fucking Heenan and Monster. Stop. Stop. He's good. But as Corey stated, I agree. He does too much. He tries so hard to impress you. He tries so hard to pop you on things. His references. Sometimes, I'm not going to front. Sometimes he'll hit it right on the money and I'll giggle. That's awesome. But for every one, haha, there's like three, ugh, stop. And the rap references. He does it all the time. That is taster's choice. You either like that kind of shit or you don't. A majority of people do. That's fine. I don't. So I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think Corey was that out of pocket with his fucking comments. And all these people, well, Nigel's a big boy. Beth is a big girl. If they want to talk more, just talk more. That's not how this works. For everybody who's like, well, you don't know how mental health works. Well, you don't know how commentary works. Okay? Morrow, for the most part, is supposed to do most of the talking. He is the lead play-by-play guy. He is supposed to lead the charge. But for all these people where they're like, well, he's supposed to talk the most. He's the play-by-play guy. Wrong. He is not supposed to do anything. He is supposed to lead the broadcast. If that means he talks more, then sure, fine. If he's in there with an inexperienced guy or a younger guy and he needs to dominate the conversation so the flow of the conversation stays put, then yes. If he's in there with an experienced announcer, then maybe you would try to talk even. If you are in there with two experienced commentators, which he's not, because Beth is not that experienced, and Nigel is, but not nearly as long as Morrow. Nigel is, but Beth is coming along. So yes, under normal circumstances, Morrow would talk probably just a little bit more than average. But the goal of a play-by-play announcer is to give you the feel that he's not talking the most. It's like when they say referees. If you never noticed a referee during the course of a match, then he did his job. That's a good ref. A good ref is a ref you pay zero attention to. He's just in the right spots at the right time, and he makes the match flow very, very well. That is what a commentator is supposed to do. I would know. I've been doing it for years. Even if a play-by-play guy is talking an immense amount of time, it's supposed to be done in a way where it does not feel like it is. So when people start to feel like you're talking too much, chances are you're talking too much. Morrow doesn't feed as often as he should, in my opinion. And what the fuck does my opinion mean? Not a whole lot. I'm sure, especially when it comes to him. But still, it is the opinion. Beth is coming along. If they're not feeding to Beth, or if they're not feeding into Nigel because they want Mauro to speak more, then that's different. Which is very possible. It's a very possible scenario. Someone could be in Mauro's ear saying to him, lead this broadcast. She just said something stupid, or he just said something stupid. Cover it up, or whatever the case may be. Whatever they're feeding him in the headset. Mauro, set this up. Mauro, feed to this. Mauro, do that. If they're letting him lead and they're asking him to do this, it's a completely different ballgame. But if it is up for grabs and Mauro is just yakking, then Corey's not fucking wrong. Which brings us to the elephant in the room. The whole mental illness deal. Bipolar rock and roller is Mauro Ranallo. This is a very sensitive subject for a lot of fucking people. Now, I will preface what I am about to say by saying there's been a few episodes on this show recently, mind you, triple digits somewhere, one of these episodes, where we talked about mental illness and mental health and my lack of knowledge of such. So I am not going to sit here and preach to you that he should just grow up and grow a thicker skin. No, my momentum, as far as I don't know a whole lot about what I'm talking about, still stands. It still stands. I don't know what Mauro is going through. So I can't speak to what will hurt his feelings or mess him up mentally or anything like that. I can't speak on that because I don't know it and I don't understand it. And to be honest with you, the more time, because I remember those episodes that I'm talking about, I stated that I was willing to sit down and listen to people discuss it so that I could learn more about it. But the more I engage in conversation about it, the more venomous, the more toxic that conversation becomes. Because people are just dead set on putting up a fucking wall when it comes to this conversation. I'm depressed. That's it. That's the conversation that people have with me when it comes to this. I suffer from depression. How? Why? Where does it start? Where does it begin? How do you describe it? Can't describe it. It's just a feeling. Okay? That's it. It's just a feeling. It's hard for people like me who want to understand. And maybe I'm just running into the wrong people. Maybe I'm not running into the right people. Maybe it's a profession who I need to speak to. I would think, and this is my mistake, I would think that someone who, quote unquote, has been dealing with it their whole life would have a better grasp on how to explain it to another person. But during the course of this whole week or two, because it's been a while since the story broke, there's been a lot of conversation from people who will claim the disease, right? Bipolar or depression or whatever it is, they'll claim it, but they won't go to war with it. They're not going to tell me what this feels like. They can't describe it. Oh, this is what I go through. This is this. And then when you equate it to Mauro, it goes in a whole other direction. Now, when they reflect it onto other people, it becomes ammunition. That's when it's time to go to war, right? They can't discuss it when it happens to them. But when it's happening to other people, they have all the fucking vigor in the world. Mauro, if you didn't hear about the tweets, and all you just saw was the fucking conversation about Mauro Ranallo over the course of the last week, you would almost swear that they put a severely distraught human being on commentary on NXT every week, like he's a child. Everyone understands that he deals with some shit that a lot of people don't deal with. And, admittingly, don't understand. That is not lost on the rest of us who don't suffer from these afflictions. We understand that he has got mental deficiencies or mental issues or mental just obstacles that he has to go through on a daily basis. And not only does he have all of those things that he has to get over and overcome, but he is able to do that on a daily basis on a high level. He is an entertainer. He is a host of a nationally broadcasted television show, 2 hours every week, Wednesday night on the USA Network. for someone with his disabilities, as I was told this week that it is, it's a disability, that is an amazing progress through your life. To achieve something like that is amazing. So clearly, he's not someone who needs to, quote-unquote, toughen up. Clearly, he's a pretty tough son of a bitch all on his own right here, right now. Based on where he's at right now, he's clearly a tough son of a bitch. Because you don't get over that hump with the chains and shackles he's got on him mentally without being extremely fucking tough. So I will never question Mauro Ranallo's toughness or his endurance or his ability to handle the quote-unquote criticism. Because I'm sure Corey and even JBL, if you want to go all the way back to that, are not the first two assholes he's run into in his entire adult life. But, and here's a fucking theory for you, because again, no one knows why he deleted his Twitter and why he's not coming to work. We're all assuming it's this, because it makes the most logical sense. People are just grasping at these straws, which is fine. But if I'm him, maybe this doesn't have anything to do with mental health. Maybe this doesn't have anything to do with mental issues. I know this is an easy thing to grasp onto because it's right there and it's public, and people want it to be that so that they can equate that to themselves. But maybe, just maybe, and hear me out. Hear me out. I'm throwing this out into the public for everyone to consume. Possibly continue the conversation on this jumping point. Maybe it's got nothing to do with mental health. Maybe, just maybe, he's like the rest of us. And he just doesn't like dealing with assholes. Ding! Maybe he saw what Corey had wrote, didn't appreciate it, dropped to Twitter, got confronted about it, and basically told everybody to go fuck themselves, kiss my ass, I'm going home. And where am I basing this theory from? Because he's already fucking done it. He's quit WWE before. He's been out the door before. Because he knows his situation. He knows his mentality. He knows who he is. And he doesn't have to deal with the WWE in any fucking capacity. He doesn't. This man has jobs up the wazoo. He can work for any company in the world that he wants right now. NXT, people say, well, NXT needs him. False. But it's equally false that Mauro needs NXT. This is a relationship of want, not need. Neither side needs anybody. And maybe Mauro's not in a bad place. Maybe his mental faculties are not all over the place. Maybe he's just sick of this shit. How hard is a concept of that to be? Just because he doesn't have that thing in him that makes him sit here and go, oh, you know, I just want to be one of the boys. He's saying to himself, fuck this guy. Fuck this company. I'm going home. And when I feel like coming back, I will be back. Why is that so far-fetched a fucking idea? Because I got to tell you, the way people defended him this week, it's almost like he's a child. You know, he's being coddled. Being held close to the fucking chest. Please don't hurt my poor Mauro. Please, he's just a kid. He's not a kid. He's a full-grown adult who pays bills and gets blowjobs like every other fucking grown-ass man. I think I just burped. I can't tell. He's a grown man. This guy lives his life like a normal fucking human being. Yes, he's got some issues. Yes. He's seen doctors, he's taken medication, and he's dealing with demons. He's been diagnosed with this stuff. This isn't a figment of his imagination. It's a real brain disease that he deals with on a daily basis. But he deals with them on a daily basis. People sometimes say words, and they don't understand the definition of the words that they're saying. Whenever people tell me, well, AJ, you know, these are problems he deals with every day. Correct. You just made an argument against your point. He's not a baby. He deals with these problems every fucking day. He's not sitting in a hotel room crying every fucking day before he gets in front of the camera, and he manages to smile for those 2 hours, and then it all goes downhill. I'm sure he has his off days. I'm sure he has his good days. I'm sure he has a balance, and I'm sure he would love to have more control over how that is balanced out. But on the good days, he rides high, and I'm sure on those bad days, he has to pull his boots off the ground and fucking struggle through it, but he fucking gets through it. So don't sit here and bash other people because they're not falling in line with your, but he has mental health problems bullshit, okay? We understand he's got the issues. No one is denying that he has those issues. What people are saying is that for the position that he's in, is it fair to the people around him that he gets to take this kind of time off simply because he didn't like what someone had to say? It has got nothing to do with the disability or whatever you want to label it that he's dealing with. He has that, and he has my respect for that, because to do what he does is not easy for anybody, regardless of their brain situation. And for him to do it at the level that he does it, is fucking amazing. But him taking time off puts a gap in the commentary booth for NXT. Period. End of conversation. He has mental this. He has mental that. Cool. Go handle your business. Take the time that you need. Right? Get healthy. Get 100%. And then come on back. Until then, we got a hole to fix. He's a hero until he comes back, and then he's back to being a worker again. So I don't understand the whole thesis that he's just going to be coddled and they're just going to put him on his chest and please don't hurt poor Moro. We get it. He's got issues that he deals with every single day. But no man anywhere, regardless of the condition of his brain, is above criticism. Period. Corey gave shitty criticism. Unfounded and unwarranted criticism. He is an asshole. But this idea that a man who suffers from the afflictions that he does is above being criticized for his work or is above favoritism in the sense of I can't not like him. You can't dislike Morrow. He has a mental health issue. I can and I do. I'm not huge on Morrow. I like him in short spurts. There are times I like him, times when I don't. Just like everybody else. No special treatment at all whatsoever. I treat the man and I respect the man for who he is. He's a hell of a commentator. And when he's ready to come back, he should be plugged immediately back into his spot. As far as I'm concerned, that is his spot. But if he's going to take the time that he needs to do what he has to do, then the WWE has to take the time to fill that spot. And if it just so happens that the guy they fill that spot with is better, minus the issues, I don't want to hear any crying about Morrow being released or Morrow choosing a different job, whatever it is, because it's got nothing to do with mental health. It's got all to do with who gets the job done, period, and end of conversation. That's it. You want me to respect him as the person and not think about his mental illness? Then that's how I do it. Any man or woman in that position who would leave by choice, you're leaving that spot open for someone else to grab, period. Well, he was off dealing with mental health issues. He shouldn't lose his job. Yes, he could if the person they replace him with is legitimately better. And if you're hearing this going, well, who's better than Morrow? A lot of people. There are a lot of talented people in this world. No one is the best at anything. You're always going to find someone better than you at something. Morrow's not God. He's just another guy with a lot of energy who can tell a story when he wants to. But he's not too busy yelling for himself. And we can get to that point when we get to that point. And I went longer with that story than I thought. But this is something that's been fucking with me all week. All week. There's another thing fucking with me. And this is some recent news. I think this shit just came out literally today. Now that I'm thinking about it. It was all over my Facebook, so I figure I mentioned it. But Bray Wyatt, the WWE Universal Champion, he's got some new merch. Some new merch that all the folks are talking about right now. And That new merch is a brand new belt. Now, we have heard people talking about the possibility of the WWE releasing a new belt for Bray Wyatt. There was talk about a week or so. Right around the time that he won, actually. Pretty almost immediately. People were talking about him debuting a brand new custom belt and blah, 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 blah. And, and he didn't. The closest we came was that blue belt. He changed the color of the belt. That's about it. And then out of nowhere, I'm recording this Saturday, so this happened last night, right? They debuted a brand new leather Fiend belt. But they sold it to the idea where the blue belt belongs to Bray and that Fiend-like belt belongs, obviously, to the Fiend. And people were loving the belt yesterday. all over the place. People were like, that's a great belt. It looks like it's so great to the gimmick and blah, 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 blah. And today, we live in a different world. We live in a different world than we did. Because the WWE is now selling those belts, custom made, from the man himself, for $6,500. And people are hysterical over it. How dare they? How dare they make a belt or merch for that damn expensive? That's crazy. Who in their right mind? That's so dumb. Yeah, this belt, that belt doesn't even have any prestige to it. Well, because that's why you buy belts, for its prestige. That's why they sold so many Diva title belts, because it's the most prestigious championship in the world. Or those European titles that everyone likes to walk around and brag about. Because they're such prestigious championship belts. The lineage of years of shut the fuck up, will you please? I'm here as a public service announcement. Ready? I've done this a few times and I feel like it's time for me to do it again. If you see something online, forget that it's the Fiend, forget that it's a belt, forget that it's wrestling, and forget the price tag of $6,500. If you see something online that is extremely expensive and you have neither the want to have it or the means in which to purchase it, here's a good rule of thumb. Don't fucking buy it. It's a very simple fucking thing. Don't fucking buy it. You see the picture on your Facebook, just keep fucking scrolling. Just keep moving it along. Sitting there, and I've seen people do this already, sitting there writing full diatribes. I saw someone write a fucking 6-paragraph thesis on to why the WWE is making a bad business deal by making this so expensive and blah, 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 blah. No one gives a fuck at all about anything that you just fucking wrote. Because there's two kinds of people. People who are going to buy the belt and people who are not going to buy the belt. If you're not going to buy the belt, that's fine. You don't have to buy it. But there's no need for you to try to convince the group that will buy the belt that they shouldn't buy the belt. If you've got $6,500 just lying around that you can give to the WWE for a belt that's not even a real belt except for the fact that it has actual belt buckle and strap on the side, but it's not a real belt in the sense of he'll be defending it or anything like that. Like it's just a custom deal to work with the gimmick. Just like the $1 million belt was kind of like something like that. Now, I know that's a big popular item for people to buy, collectors and all that. And so will this. It'll be like the people who bought that rare rock belt that they never got a chance to use, or the snakeskin belt and all that other shit. If you can't afford the belt, don't buy the fucking belt. I don't understand why the fuck that's so goddamn hard to figure out. If you're gonna buy the belt, buy it. If you're not going to buy the belt, shut the fuck up about the belt. You're not going to buy it anyway. Who gives a flying fuck? Now, I can see people complaining if they want the belt, but it's just unaffordable for them. I can understand that. But there are people online, it's not even fucking worth it. Look at that shitty belt. Well, if it's a shitty belt, what the fuck are you wasting your time talking about it then? And I know you're probably saying, oh, there's just trolls. You know how that goes on the internet. But still, it just doesn't make any fucking sense. It doesn't make any logical sense. I actually saw one the other day. With business decisions like this, WWE will be out of business in no time. You guys, again, with this, WWE is going out of business. There is not a fucking chance that the WWE goes out of business because a Bray Wyatt merch belt put him under the fucking table. Will you fucking grab some fucking reality, please? Christ. Christ almighty. $6,500, folks. If you've got it, you've got it. If you don't, then fucking that's it. You don't. Absolutely, you don't. More news on the other side. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I spent so much time on Mauro Graves, but this kind of falls in line with that shit, too. I got a lot of shit the other day because I made a post that said, I'm a Cornette guy, but even, and I said in the post, I am a Cornette guy, but even I can't defend what the fuck he just said, okay? Even if he didn't resign, which is what he did, he quit, he should have been fired anyway. Now, I never went into full detail as to why that was. That was just a blanket statement that I made. Someone decided to take me to task for it and actually told me, if you heard what he said and you're still a Cornette guy, then go fuck yourself. So I proceeded to go into the bathroom and put my hand on myself, and I fucked myself because, yeah, I'm still a fucking Cornette guy. And the reason I'm a Cornette guy is because I will never, ever turn my back on a historian like that. Someone who has that kind of a mind for the goddamn business. There's no fucking way I am ever turning my back on that. I have known from the word go that there are certain things off with this guy, but that's fine. I love his stories. I love his experiences. I love especially those omnibuses when he does like those 9-hour shits. When they put together like those little 9-hour fucking clips or whatever the case may be of like particular topics that he rambled on and they just put compilations together. Those can kill a car ride, my friend. I do road trips a lot, and those can kill some time. I'll tell you that right now. They make road trips a lot more bearable. But I take his word like I take everybody else's in my life who's not close to me with a grain of fucking salt. If you're looking at these people to be your fucking role model and to tell you how to live, you're already fucked. It doesn't matter how racist you think he is. If someone else is controlling your motives and if someone else is controlling your moves, then that person is making you the puppet. Doesn't matter what they really say. You're going to go with it anyway because that's how you live your life. I don't live my life that way. Whatever Cornette says, it's either funny or it's not funny, and then I move about my fucking day. He doesn't play that kind of a role in my life. I have never had the chance to work with him. I've never had a chance to meet him. He's just some dude on the other end of my radio. And for a lot of you listening, now that's the situation. If you legitimately feel like his comment was racist, and if those of you who missed it, he stated it on the air on NWA Power. I forgot which episode number it was. It was Nick Aldis versus Trevor Murdoch, and he was talking about Trevor. Said the man is so tough, the guy can strap a bucket of chicken on his back and run through Ethiopia. And yeah, it was a starvation joke. I knew it the minute I heard it. Now, he went on his podcast and defended it by saying it's a 30-year-old joke and blah, 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 blah. I didn't even know it was a 30-year-old joke. To be honest with you, I had never heard him say that joke before. But, again, I don't listen to every fucking thing Cornette says. Regardless of the age, okay? This is why I'm going to explain my response to it in the two parts. The first part that I will explain is when I said, even if he didn't resign, he should have quit. Okay? Actually, that's the second part. First part was why I'm still a Cornette guy, and I just explained that. So this is the second part here. Why I think he should have been fired regardless. Because everyone's saying, so you think he should have been fired? Yes. So you think he's a racist? No, I don't. I don't think he's a racist. The reason why I think he should have been fired anyway is because of the opposite. He's not a racist, but he doesn't know the difference. You understand what I'm saying? He comes from the South. He's an old man, okay? And the stuff that he can look at a black guy and a Hispanic guy and a people of color, and he can look at, I know he bashes the girl wrestling, but I've seen him carry great conversations and have great relationships with women of all ages and men of all color and ages. I know he's not a racist. The problem is he doesn't know what racism sounds like. He doesn't know that what he's saying is really that bad. If you heard his podcast, and I said this before I even heard the podcast, as soon as I heard the comment, I said, he's not apologizing for that. Because in his mind, he's not going to think he did anything that wrong. And booyah, if you listen to the podcast, I'm not advocating that you do, because if you're not a Cornette guy, there's really no point listening to a show. But I'll tell you what he said. Basically, what he said, it was a 30-year-old joke. Didn't even know he was being racist. It was a starvation joke. And then proceeded to dig an even bigger hole for himself by explaining how the joke, where the joke came from, and broke down the joke, which is all irrelevant bullshit. He had an hour and a half to kill on his show, so whatever. He just expounded upon the joke. But it doesn't really make much of a fucking difference. If someone is legitimately offended by your comments, they have a right to be offended by that. So if there were people legitimately offended by what he said, he did apologize to those people because that was not the intention of the joke. But he was not wrong when he said, for those of you who don't like him, period, and use this as your fodder to be like, well, fuck Jim Cornette, he should burn in hell and blah, 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 he gave them a nice little fuck you. Which is, again, why I said he's not going to apologize. Because even though he said I'm sorry to one group and said fuck you to the other, that basically means he's not really sorry for what he did. He is apologizing to one group because of how they took the joke, and he's fuck-you-ing another group for how they took the joke. You understand what I'm saying? An apology, first of all, I'm sorry, the words I'm sorry mean nothing. They're useless. It's garbage words, okay? I'm sorry doesn't do anything. If I walked into your home right now, and I shot your mother in the fucking face, and then I looked over at you and said, listen, I've had a bad day, a lot of stuff going through my mind, I'm sorry. I don't think it's going very far with you, okay? The words, I'm sorry, the whole point of I'm sorry and I apologize is contrition. You're giving a little bit of yourself to this person in place of whatever pain you caused them. You're trying to make them feel better by belittling yourself. That's why it's hard for people to say those fucking words, especially when they don't think they did anything fucking wrong. People who legitimately feel bad never have to be told to tell you that they're sorry, okay? People who have to be coaxed into it don't really feel like they did anything wrong. So he's not really sorry for what he did, and you don't really believe him when he says that he's sorry because he doesn't believe what he did was wrong. So the whole fucking thing is a farce. It's a charade. It's a gigantic waste of fucking time. Is what that is. There's really no fucking need to go through it at all. So that's why he said he didn't really apologize, because he doesn't feel he did anything wrong. He apologized to one group because he felt like he had to, and he didn't apologize to the other group because, you know, fuck him. So he's apologizing based on conditions. He's not apologizing for what he did. Therefore, it's not a real apology. Because people were like, well, he did apologize. No. All fake. Across the board. Doesn't give a fuck. Because he says I'm sorry to one group and then proceeds to spend the next hour telling everybody how it wasn't really an offensive joke because of X, Y, and Z. You understand? It's not a real thing. He's making it up. So that's why he said he should have been fired if he didn't resign, because he can't tell the difference. And for as long as he can't tell the difference, he is a liability on the air. Okay? He ran through his whole resume on his recent episode, The Drive-Thru, his whole resume on how he's been fired or quit from whatever jobs and yada, yada, yada. And the common denominator to each fucking situation, and I don't even think he realized it himself to be honest with you. But the common denominator in all those situations, whether he resigned himself or quit, the common denominator is that he explodes at some point. He's a ticking time bomb. At some point, and even he has admitted that in a fit of anger, he has said some words that even he would understand would be considered very offensive. That is not someone you should be having with a live mic. Now, NWA might be a different scenario because, and even to his own admission, that line, that joke that he made it 6 weeks before it aired. He recorded it. They filmed it, they edited it, they put it in the can, and it was sat there for 6 fucking weeks. And nobody caught it. So I was also being taken to task because people thought I was defending Jim when I wasn't. What I was saying is if you're going to shit on Jim, which is fine, shit on Jim. He deserves this. But if you're going to shit on Jim, you better shit on fucking NWA Power as well, because they're the ones who fucking aired it. They knew about it. They didn't care about it. And since the podcast, we've learned that Dave Lagana specifically, the guy who brought him in, was not only the one who oversaw the fucking thing, he's the one who fucking edited the video. And then backtracked in public, stating that, you know, being vague about it and not trying to throw him under the bus, but throwing him under the fucking bus, which is why he resigned. But even if he didn't resign, he should have been out the door. You can't have a guy like that on commentary who is just going to continuously be a liability. And he said himself on his own podcast, "I don't really see myself doing anything else." That's fine. We don't need you to do anything else. The days of the wrestling business needing Jim Cornette behind a camera or on a microphone are over. He is a fantastic ambassador. He is a fantastic historian. He needs to be enshrined, as far as I'm concerned, based on wrestling knowledge alone. Active in the business, it's over. It is done. And he says it himself. My career has been over since 2012. No, it hasn't, Jim. That's a lie. That's a lie. You have not been in that. You've not been out of the business since 2012. Because you ran down a whole litany of jobs that you've taken since 2012, which would put you out of the retirement conversation. None of them were full-time work, but you've worked consistently enough through some very notable companies, by the way, putting over a whole new generation of talent. So please, for the love of God, don't tell us, okay? Do not tell us that your career has been over since 2012, because it hasn't. Okay, I love Jim Cornette. I love listening to him. But even I understand he can be full of shit. Everyone can be full of shit. So you have to learn from that. Okay, one other thing that I want to address before I get out of here, because now we're running short on time here. People were asking me, because I did the Survivor Series roundtable, and I didn't really get a chance to talk too much about the Survivor Series, because to be honest with you, what's to talk about? We did a whole roundtable on it. I'm not going to break it down match by match, you know. There's not really much to talk about as far as Survivor Series went. It had a mission statement. You can tell it right from War Games. NXT won out. There wasn't really much to discuss about that. I don't really do much post stuff because, I mean, what's the fun in that? The only way to do a post review on something is to go match by match and really break it down. And on occasion, I have done it, but I don't make a habit of it. And Survivor Series is not going to be one of those shows. It was a good show. All the people are like, what a horrible pay-per-view. They're retarded. They're done. They're dumb. I don't understand how anybody could look at that pay-per-view and go, yeah, what a shitty show. That was a really good show. I enjoyed it. And I know a lot of people that enjoyed it. And that's all that really matters. They did a good job of building a whole slew of new stars. I will say this about Survivor Series weekend as a whole. I really believe the MVP, the one person that came out of TakeOver and Survivor Series, just totally standing out to me. Rhea Ripley is my new number one favorite right now in the WWE. Rhea Ripley right now is tops. A lot of people came out of that weekend shining, a lot. So it was hard to pick one. But when you think about it, because we were talking about it, I saw the Wednesday show when Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler had their little stare down. That match, if you think about it, is a main event on any fucking show that it's on, Baszler and Rhea Ripley. That match is going to be amazing, and the promo package is ridiculous, because Baszler's been champion for forever, and Rhea Ripley, between the course of Saturday and Sunday, all right, she beat four opponents at the War Games, she beat two teams of five, that's 10, she beat 14 women, 14 women in two nights, and Baszler beat the two top champions in one night. Okay, so these two right now are on a collision course. That's going to be great. Rhea Ripley, to me, was the main event. You know, the whole effing show for that whole fucking weekend. Rhea Ripley's, she is the perfect package. She's got a look. She's got an entrance. She's got promos. She's got in-ring. She can do it all. She is the package right now. If you're looking for someone for Becky to drop that ball to or to program against at some point, this is it. Rhea Ripley, and I know they had that match NXT recently, but it was a cold match. There wasn't really a whole lot of build-up to that. It was just thrown together, and it could have been a lot better, and it will be a lot better over time. It's going to be a lot better, and I can't wait for that collision at some point, and that's going to be great. So I didn't really have too much on Survivor Series. Another thing that I was asked about, and we dabbled about it a little bit on the roundtable with CM Punk, I said it there briefly, and I'll say it now again about his return at Backstage. It's not news. Not to me, it's not. I'm at a news site. I don't have to report that he's back in some capacity, in spite of the fact that he's with Fox and blah 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 blah. Not a lot going there for me. I don't really care. I could have him as a wrestler. I could not. But if all he's gonna do is talk shit on WWE backstage, I'm good. I've heard him talk shit before. That doesn't impress me. I'm not gonna sit here and be wowed by his ability to speak. And I know that he can speak already. I want to see him program. I want to see him work against a talent. I want to see him get a talent over. Even if he's not wrestling, that's fine. I just want to see him get a guy over, get some talent over, help the company, because he could be a huge help. And I want him to be a huge help, but not from the sideline. So if he wants to get a huge paycheck, which I'm sure he's getting, at least six figures to be on that show. And if that's how he wants to make his money, all power to him. But I don't need to talk about him, to be honest with you, because it's not news to me. Him sitting across from Renee Young, repeating the same reverberated garbage he has been saying on the news media for the last 6 years, means fucking nothing to me. I need to see him do something. Again, he doesn't need to be in the ring. If he doesn't want to wrestle, that's fine. I don't need him to wrestle. But he's got a lot of talent, a lot of tools. He can get some fuckers over. And also, I need him backstage politicking again, because a lot of shit got done when he was politicking backstage. All right, a lot of shit got done. So I'm looking forward to the idea of him trying to pull some strings, get some fucking people over. That's what I want. That's what I want to fucking see. I want to see him get some fucking people over. Okay, when he starts doing that, you call me. I mean the minute. The minute he starts putting people over and getting talent over, you call me ASAP. Please, please do that so that I can see this guy doing the work that I really feel like he was meant to do. Because that's what he's really meant to do, in my mind, is just get people over. So, not much on that end, but I but when he starts being incorporated more into what he should be doing, Then we'll speak more on him. So, I'm going to end this show now with a little bit of positivity here. I'm going to bring this shit up over here. Where the fuck did that go? I need the calendar. Here it is. All right. So, like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm not huge on holidays, right? I actually think holidays are pretty, depending on the holiday, pretty fucking stupid. The holiday I hate the most, and if there's anybody really close to me listening to me, they're probably rolling their eyes because they get promos about it. I shoot promos about your shit all the time. Celebrating your birthday is the worst. It's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen in my entire fucking life. Dumb. Dumb beyond belief. I don't understand the process of any of this, really. Celebrating your birthday, yada, yada, yada. It's dumb. And one of the ones that I hate the most is Christmas. I hate Christmas. It's just the idea of it. Just the whole, the buying people shit and all the yada, 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 yada. Drives me fucking nuts. So, I have decided, because every time I say that, I thought Christmas sucks. I hate Christmas, right? Bahumbug. That's me. I'm Bahumbug. I was the only guy in class that I can remember rooting for the Grinch. I hated this shit, right? I was rooting for him. I said, this guy's got a good idea on paper. We just need to see him execute. We'll be all right. But I'm not big on it. So, I've had kind of a turnaround. Not in the sense that I would like to start, celebrating Christmas or whatnot or whatever the case. Because I do celebrate with my family, but that's more of my wife thing. My wife likes doing it, so there, in fact, now I do it. But one of the biggest things that we talked about was trying to wrap my head around being more positive toward the holiday. Right? Being more positive. I was positive for Thanksgiving, as you can tell at the beginning, until I got all negative on the show. But I was positive at the beginning. I had a good Thanksgiving. So, I have decided I'm going to go all the way. I want to try to show the universe, the Orsini universe, my love for everyone else's favorite holiday. So, I've decided to do something very interesting. And I mentioned this on the show before, but I've got more information. I have decided that we're going to have a Christmas special. That's right. We're going to do a Christmas special. I'm going to have guests. We're going to sing songs. We're going to have some eggnog. It's going to be full fucking Christmas here on Orsini's Uncensored Mind. And we're calling the event, because I think we called it an extravaganza. It was a working title. We're calling this Orsini's Uncensored Mind Christmas as Fuck Special. That's right. Xmas as Fuck. Actually, I like Xmas better. Xmas as Fuck. What's that? A-X-A-F. Xmas as Fuck. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do an Xmas as Fuck Special. Extravaganza. Now, the date that I am recording this has been solved. Okay, I'm going to be recording this December 20th, but I have recently found out that I have two options here. I could go live on the 20th, or I could record it on the 20th, and we can air it on Christmas. So I'm debating. I'm thinking to go live on the 20th and then replay it on Christmas. There's a lot of different options, but the point of the matter is I'll be keeping you more updated, but December 20th looks like that's going to be the date, and we're going to do a Christmas special. Absolutely 100%. This is going to be good for everyone, including myself, because I'm going to get a chance to do some fun shit. I'm going to get a chance to talk to some fun people. Should be interesting. I know I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you guys are looking forward to it too. We're going to do some crazy shit on that day. It's going to be a pretty outrageous episode. We're still going to talk some pro wrestling, but we're going to do Christmas-themed shit. All right, so that's going to be good. Orsini's Uncensored Mind, I don't know, what episode is that going to be? Let me see, let's go back to the calendar here. This is 117, right? This is episode 117, that's here on the 30th, so drop down here, 17 is dropping right now, so 18, 19, 20, 120, wow, that's a good number, I like that, 120, all right, so episode 120. Christmas as Fuck Extravaganza. That's happening, guys. So, I hope you guys had a good time with your show here. I hope... good times are bad. I got pretty negative here. I hope you guys learned something. I hope I learned you something here. All right? Think about some of this shit. I'm telling you. Just think about it. All right? Until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, thank you for enjoying episode 119.
100 episodes, now pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUN. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.